God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
You know, when the God of the universe created this world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in the world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you. One of the challenges of being in the business I'm in is reading on a constant basis things that can drive one into cynicism. And my radio mentor, from whom I was gifted to fill in all those years, the dearly departed Rush Limbaugh, God rest him, had said that show prep never stops. And it doesn't. Sometimes you want a respite. And sometimes when your job is to read the news, you don't want to do that. We named the show A Disciple's View because of the change that God has put me through. And the show is not about me. God forbid it be about me. It's about a point of view. And the point of view is, for me, a kingdom view. And there was not a time in his earthly ministry where the Lord Jesus said, "Pick up your light sandals and your beach towel and come swimming with me. We'll sit in the sun and we'll eat fruit and we'll chit-chat and go to bed early." He said that we would face troubles. He said that people would persecute us in his name, and that blessed be us when that happens. He described a hard life. Well, a satisfying life, a life where we get to walk with the Spirit, Holy Spirit within us, a life closer to what we're supposed to lead than what we have screwed up in ourselves with our sin problem. And when we watch the news or read the news, it's tempting, at least for me, to entertain the flesh. And to be honest, sometimes I do that. You know, I do a 2.5 hour a day podcast at thetoddhermanshow.com, and that's a lot more like old-fashioned talk radio. God's word, but not right out front. It's there. It's there. That's why it exists, is for people who don't yet know the Lord. At AFR, I think probably most people here know the Lord more than I do. Looking at the news, there is a $700 check on the way. You've sent that, courtesy of the people who run Joe Biden, to the citizens of Maui. To cover their losses. That will not match their share of the money we've been forced to send to our 51st state of Ukraine. Their share is about $900 per household. Now, that is not even close to true per household. Well, there are many households that don't make enough money to pay income tax. So you could change that number a little bit, it still doesn't get there. So he's sending $700 on the backs of people who are paying about $900, or maybe a little less, given that that was a poor part of town. So I want to pray for the people in Maui. And we do. We have. But what about praying for the people who think this is fair? That this is just? That's hard. I will confess to you, I don't think Joe Biden runs this country. I don't think he's mentally capable of running it. I believe he is a thief whose love has grown cold. I believe he's probably a deeply, deeply ill man mentally. I think he has been for many years. And we're called to pray for him. That's a difficult thing for me. Maybe that's a faith development issue. How is it for you? Because I see this injustice, and there it is. There's the flesh. Now, we can have righteous anger where we can do that. We have to be angry without sinning, without wishing him ill. And I don't wish him will, but I have a real problem sincerely praying for him. I can mouth the words, but I don't know that I can mean it. This morning, I was gifted to do an interview with the people who run the magazine, that this network, distributes, and you'll forgive me for not remembering the name. Lovely woman interviewed me named Joy. And she asked me at the end of our time together how she could pray for me, and I paused. I was silent. And she said, no, we really mean this. We really mean it. We don't just say, hey, how can we pray for you and then go on. I said, no, that's why I've paused. It's because I can tell you mean it. And so I want to mean my answer. It was great. I felt so loved. I felt the love of God through her. I can't pray yet for Joe Biden that way. Now, imagine this. Imagine in this audio clip here. Imagine with me being as misled about human life versus water as this young man. This is M. Kaleo Manuel, who media reports in the Postmillennial, Revolver.News, the Honolulu Civic Beat, blamed for refusing to turn on emergency water during the fire.
The commission is responsible per our authorizing statute to protect and manage all water resources in the state. One water is like taking it and looking at it from a holistic system perspective. And that's not any different than how Hawaiians traditionally managed water. You know, and in essence, we treated it, Native Hawaiians treated water as one of the earthly manifestations of a god in Akua, Kane. And so that reverence for a resource and that reciprocity in relationship was something that was really, really important to our worldview and well-being, right? And living in an island in isolated from other, you know, civilizations. And so I think where it shifted to today or over time is that we've become used to looking at water as like something which we use and not necessarily something that we revere as that thing that gives us life, right? I mean, to me, it's a shift in value set. And, you know, if we can start to really look at how we as humans in an island can reconnect to that traditional value set. So really my motto is always like, let water connect us and not divide us. Like we can share it, but it requires true conversations about equity.
There it is, equity. He apparently did not turn on water to put out the fires because it would be equitable or not equitable to do that. Some Hawaii officials are saying, my officials are saying, well, turning on the water would have made it worse. I can't come to that intellectual conclusion. Maybe you can. Now, he said that prior to this happening. Incidentally, as the guy responsible for running the water there, he's a Hawaiian studies major. It's interesting because, of course, in our faith, we talk so much about water. We view it differently than he does. And at that time, as he's talking about how Hawaiians traditionally treated water, of course, they didn't have the ability to create the systems we do now for storage and dispersal. Maybe they would have treated it differently, particularly if they'd been starving their island of land like that huge hill behind Maui, which at one point had grown crops. And now it just grew fuel for fires. I pray for him. I pray that he would come to see that perhaps he's worshiping the wrong thing. I'd say he is worshiping the creation rather than the creator. And that worship, that idol worship, in fact, has cost lives. If it's true what the media says, we do know the water did not come on. The guy who was Maui's emergency chief, his name is Herman Andaya. He'd been the Maui Emergency Management Agency administrator since 2017, resigned on August 17th for health reasons. And this is according to a Facebook post from Maui County. His resignation became effective immediately. I picked this up through the Federalist. They didn't turn the sirens on because of what I've heard was, well, people have been trained to seek high ground because they think of this as a tsunami siren. Well, I understand it's also been used for fires. The series of mistakes and decisions to not prevent this for the cost of $189 million, according to Hawaii's largest utility, Maui's utility, will cost countless lives, but something else, trust. I am deeply curious about how the fires began. I become more curious every day as I see government employees with undescribably bad decisions. Perhaps people were trained to seek high ground when the sirens went off. Coming out of their houses and seeing, in fact, the fire advancing, they, like many others, may have sought instead the relative refuge of the ocean. At least they'd had an opportunity. How able are you, and perhaps far more than me, to pray for M. Kaleo Manuel, the guy who talked about sacred water, for Herman Andaya, who apparently made the decision to keep the silence or the sirens silent? Can you pray that they will see God's face? How about that they're forgiven for this? What about the governor of Hawaii who said he's all, or pardon me, the mayor? Oh, it is the governor. The governor. Who said he's already thinking about having the government acquire that land? Can you pray for him? Probably you can do a better job at it than I can. There's a difference between mouthing the words and meaning it. Even as I speak of prayer, I find myself unconsciously becoming angry. Maybe it's because I drink a ton of caffeine. That's a true thing. I do. I have a caffeine problem. Everyone can choose their problems. I choose caffeine. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's the pattern. Maybe if we go back up to the top, it's $700 for these people. Joe Biden was asked just, I think, this morning, because he's on his way to Camp David, which is not in Maui. Can we ask you about your trip to Maui? No. He responded and seemed really angry about it. Maybe it's the pattern where we see our infrastructure falling down around the country because of decisions being made, decisions very much like or motivated through the same reasons that M. Kaleo Manuel expressed, equity. So we are to all have equitable decline. Look, we have to, in my mind, I think we need to respect the earth. I think we need to treat it as a common gift. It is a common gift. It's probably the common gift from God. Everyone gets to take part in it, whether or not they worship the Lord Jesus. Maybe we need to think about that. Maybe that's what they're doing, except they're not. Because even here, there are lies wrapped upon lies that have drawn so many into a relative cult. This bit of audio here, I think, makes that point that, yeah, let's respect the earth. There's this common gift, but let's not worship it. Greenpeace's co-founder, Dr. Patrick Moore, reminds people the facts about carbon dioxide and God's design in this audio clip.
As I've stated publicly on many occasions, there is no definitive scientific proof through real-world observation that carbon dioxide is responsible for any of the slight warming of the global climate that has occurred during the last 300 years since the peak of the Little Ice Age. If there were such a proof, through testing and replication, it would have been written down for all of us to see. The contention that human emissions are now the dominant influence on climate is simply a hypothesis, rather than a universally accepted scientific theory. It is therefore correct, indeed, verging on the compulsory in the scientific tradition, to be skeptical of those who express certainty that the science is settled and the debate is over. But there is certainty beyond a reasonable doubt that CO2 is the building block for all life on Earth, and that without its presence in the global atmosphere at sufficient concentration, this would be a dead planet. Yet today, our children and our publics are taught that CO2 is a toxic pollutant that will destroy life and bring civilization to its knees.
you have the heart to fight. Cause you are more than what is hurting you tonight.
Welcome back to A Disciple's View. My name is Todd Herman, and this is wrapping up the first week here, and it is an enormous joy every time we crack the mic. And I realized the lineup I'm in. You know, I listened to so many of these shows. It's to use the phrase of a 80s teen, it's mind-blowing to be in this lineup. It's somewhat unbelievable. I've tracked since it began the COVID response. And since it's began, I have just been aghast at the size and the lies and how God has used has just shamed the so-called wise with simple things. From the very beginning, I remember hearing a press conference where a governor was describing the rules for golf, that you could play golf if you were three members of the same family and one member from outside the family. But if you were two members from the same family and two members from outside the family, you could not play. Likewise with tennis. And none of it could possibly make sense. The most fascinating and entertaining came out of the mouth of Jay Inslee, who's the dictator of the separate country of Washington, where he said, you can go... you can go fishing. No, pardon me. You can go in a boat outside and not catch COVID, but you can't put a fishing line in the water because then you're catching COVID and you're spreading it to the fish, it would seem. Why would I bring this up? Because the demands for masking are coming back. The UK intends to mask people again. There are now demands for an eighth dose of the mRNA concoctions in people's arms that have no relationship at all to vaccines. As I said in the last segment, they're gene sequencing devices, gene hijacking devices. There's now more fear being promoted about a new variant. The cold mutates every year. Viruses mutate every year. There is some small possibility, and if it happens, it will be because of these leaky injections that don't stop the spread. They, in fact, encourage mutation. There's some small chance that eventually we could have a very truly dangerous version of COVID, what SARS-CoV-2 version, whatever. That could happen theoretically. Meanwhile, just sitting here, just now, just minding my own business during the break, I see yet another pilot has died. There was a pilot who died mid-air last week. Just learning now, an Indigo pilot died at Nepcour Airport's boarding gate moments before he was to go fly the plane off the ground. And if it had happened during takeoff, That's deeply dangerous. I made the mistake once of sitting next to a guy. It wasn't my choice. I actually made the mistake of talking to him. He was a very nice man from Australia. Super interesting. We were flying together back from New York to Seattle. And both of us had been upgraded. So civilized area. We could talk. I asked him what he did. He was an accident investigator. He'd been a 747 global pilot, transglobal, for most of his life. And then he became an accident investigator. And I said to him, you know, so funny, I fly so much, but I still fear turbulence. It's so silly. And he went, I know, mate. Now you're dead wrong. They can be very deadly. And so he entertained me for the next 25 minutes with all the ways that we could spiral into the ground. Having yet at that point not been fully discipled, I still feared death. I still don't want to fall out of the sky in an airplane. And he said to me, the most dangerous time in airplanes is 5 minutes after takeoff in 15 minutes before landing. And this pilot died just before he was to take off. It shouldn't surprise us. Heart attacks are at a record high. And here's how the media's approaching this. They say, here are the symptoms you can't ignore. Except most people who have myocarditis from these injections don't know they have it. It's called asymptomatic myocarditis. Want to know what it comes about? When your body produces a lot of adrenaline upon waking, that's why so many young school kids die when they're waking. That's why athletes die in the midst of athletic achievement, athletic action. This is why pilots can die under stressful circumstances, like a near collision, taking the plane off from the runway. Dr. Peter McCullough has been tracking this. We'll get to him in a second. Let me give you a human example. An Olympic swimmer named Helen Smart was 43, still in absolutely pristine physical condition, continued to swim and to train, and she died of a sudden heart attack. So people like McCullough have been tracking this. This audio bit here, Dr. Peter McCullough, we're going to play this audio, says myocarditis is far more common than the CDC and their owners in Big Pharma will let the mockingbird media tell us.
The myocarditis that occurs with the natural infection is usually those sick enough to be in the ICU, and it's a troponin elevation only. It's very different than the myocarditis that we're seeing with the vaccines, which we'll get to. The myocarditis in COVID-19 is mild. It's inconsequential, and it's largely a troponin elevation. I don't want anybody to think that the myocarditis of the natural infection is anything like what we're seeing with the vaccines.
Exactly. The vaccine produces the inflammatory type process is on the heart.
And the vaccine is directly there. Now there's preclinical studies suggesting the lipid nanoparticles actually go right into the heart. The heart expresses the spike protein. The body attacks the heart. There are dramatic EKG changes. The troponin, the blood test for heart injury with the vaccine myocarditis, is 10 to 100 folds higher than the troponin we see with the natural infection. It's a totally different syndrome. About when the kids get myocarditis after the vaccine, 90% have to be hospitalized. They have dramatic EKG changes, chest pain, early heart failure. They need echocardiograms. If the ejection fraction is low, they need medications to prevent heart failure. So vaccine-induced myocarditis is a big deal. And in children, it's way more serious and more prominent than a...
They're going to let us know. So he describes this difference, and yet let me ask you, have you been cautioned to go get your kids tested for myocarditis? There is a test that exists. I am on the nonprofit board, so I don't have anything to do with the medical care, thank the Lord, because of course I'm not a doctor or anything like that. But I'm on the board, the nonprofit board of a medical center. And our doctors have this device, and this is in the North Idaho area. It happens to be called Heart of Hope. That device was used over in Spokane, which is just to the west of where I broadcast from, which is up in the high mountains of Free America in North Idaho. And a gentleman named Bill Sullivan, retired from the United States military, he arranged to get a bunch of active military and retired military tested with that device. 35% of them had myocarditis, which can lead to these heart attacks. Have you been told you need to get tested for myocarditis, like we were all told you have to get tested every week? Every week you got to go get a PCR test, which in fact cannot uncover any virus in the body. That's not what it's designed to do. The lies. I mean, these are harder to suss out. It takes more work and more study. I think everybody knew that when you were told you wear your mask walking into the restaurant, but you can take it off when you sit down. I think everybody knew that that was just theater. But how many people right now have myocarditis and aren't told, even though there are tests that can unveil that? There's a woman named Dr. Jane Orient. She's a leader of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. She just published an editorial that describes it's not just commercial media that is blocking this, and don't think Fox is any different. They're back to promoting these injections, back to pretending that they're safe. That academic publications are blocking people from knowing about this. Satan is a liar, a thief, and a murderer. He does not want the truth distributed. He does not want us to see the truth. God is truth. God is love. God does not want people to perish before they have an opportunity to come to him. But look at this. That's happening. This is another doctor. His name is Dr. Chris Shoemaker. We'll hear his audio here. Here, Dr. Shoemaker explains why it's a lie for Fox News to pretend the mRNA shots that pregnant women foolishly get protect fetuses.
We're very enthused about the idea that in the third trimester, you would actually give the mother a vaccine.
So essentially in real time, a leukocytic reaction. Leukocytes coming after the vaccine. But what do we really mean by the vaccine? We mean specifically the mRNA that's inside the nanoparticle. The mRNA, because it's inside the nanoparticle, can go across the blood-brain barrier and create inflammation in brain vessels. They can go into through into the fetus during a pregnancy. Not just the mother gets it, because it's got nanoparticles. These can go literally across the placenta into the fetus and even into the brain of the fetus. So we're allowing a medication that has the ability to transfer all the way through into the brain of the fetus to be part of the normative prescriptive pattern of healthcare and quote unquote vaccine care in our countries and in our worlds. And many people, much more sophisticated in science than myself, know with clarity the injuries that are possible from that.
And her antibodies, the protective things that the immune system makes, actually pass through to the baby, both when the baby's born and through the mother's milk. And so because the baby's immune system is actually not very strong for that first few months, using the mother's immune system to do this, it's a very exciting idea.
And of course, that's the voice of Bill Gates, a known expert in vaccines, himself a medical doctor. Oh, wait, no. He's a software guy. My apologies. I used to work for Bill. I should have remembered that. That's right. He's not a doctor, but he did pay a lot of money. About $500 million, by the way, to get himself positioned as an expert in these injections. So this doctor, Dr. Jane Orient, says the academics are blocking these studies from being seen. What sort of studies? Well, the sort of studies we're talking about, the deaths coming from these injections and why we always knew that given the design of the injections. There's also doctors who continue to fight battles against governments, and it's not just in the United States. This is a doctor, we're going to skip down here. This is a doctor, Dr. Roisin Killian, spoke with Dr. Peter McCullough about the Canadian government attacking her career.
They've lied about everything in terms of the vaccine. We were told that when you get the shot in the arm, it stays in the arm. We now know that that's completely false. It distributes throughout the whole body. A recent study actually showed mRNA present in breast milk. So we know.
Okay, we'll go to the next clip. That's my fault. Dr. Roisin Killian spoke with Dr. Peter McCullough about the Canadian government attacking her career.
Dr. McCullough, I will try to make it as short as possible because it's been going on for 2 years now. So I will try to make it concise. But basically, the summary of it, I was an emergency room physician in Canada, Ontario, Owen Sound, specifically during the whole frontline process. And I resigned from my job on the 23rd of August, 2021, because of the vaccine mandates that came into play in the hospital setting. I actually resigned on a publicly recorded town hall meeting with our CEO, and that kind of went viral at that process. But after that, I stepped into my role as a family physician because I trained in South Africa. So we've got training of both. So I stepped into that role and I started seeing patients, assessing them for comprehensive COVID care. Comprehensive COVID care included ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, exemptions, whatever was needed in that process. During that, one of the exemptions that I provided was handed into an employer, and that employer saw it fit to take on the role of policeman and handed in that exemption to the college. That started an investigation where the college let me know that they did receive an exemption. There was no patient complaint, and that's the part that is really important for people to know. There was no patient complaint, but they asked me to give them a list of all of my patients that I either assessed for ivermectin, for exemptions, hydroxychloroquine, or even mask and tasting exemptions. I cordially replied to say I would love to provide them with the information, but none of my patients gave me the permission to share their medical charts because it is sacred under the privacy and confidentiality of the patient and physician relationship, like it's always been. Nothing's changed or should have changed. Mm-hmm. And they basically said, well, if you're not going to comply with our orders, we are going to take you to court under Section 87. And that process was started in December of 2021. During that process, they ended up suspending my license, basically in October of that year, to say in protection of patients, because I shouldn't be able to assess them for comprehensive COVID care. So I've been with temporarily suspended license for 2 years. And since then, we have been in court, and that is where Paul can tell you more.
So we continue to see doctors facing this fate. It just happened to another doctor in California. Once again suspended because they are against truth. Who is the chief liar? We know that. God is truth. Is he also a proponent of free speech? I believe God is a proponent of free speech, but that as well is under attack, and it's not just against doctors and medical professionals. It's against us. There is a global effort to contain what you can say, not read, but what you can say, up to and including preventing the distribution of the Holy Gospel. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Hey, welcome back to Disciples View. My name is Todd Herman, and this is the last segment of the first week on AFR. It's been an astonishing thing. I just had this interview this morning, and Joy, and she works for the magazine that AFR owns. And again, forgive me for not remembering the name. It's a great magazine, huge, huge distribution. And she asked me the story about how this all happened, and so many of the hosts have asked me that same question, and I can only tell you that this is only the result of God. I'll just tell you one more thing about the timing. When I first heard from the Wildman family, by way of friends and people I'd not yet met, it was 1 week or so before I was to graduate from a pastoral residency. And that residency would have made it impossible for me to do this because I'd made that commitment to hopefully graduate from the residency. And thank God I did. But at the time, it was an 18 to 20 hour a week effort. Sometimes more when we were writing our theses, and I couldn't have done it. Furthermore, I'm not anywhere near as biblically knowledgeable as so many on this network. I have a lot to go there. This program was really about how to make disciples. But dang, the Lord grew me in such ways in that, really by watching people younger than me better at it than I am. And being blessed by their modeling. And also having them reveal to me some of the ways they think God has equipped me already to have a ministry of my own. So I couldn't have done it at that time. But it felt very much like God saying, okay, that's why I wanted you to do this residency. Because guys, 3 years ago, if someone would have said to me, you will go through a pastoral residency program, I would have snickered. Me, first of all, what would be the silly church that would ever think I could do that? I don't think I'd want to be a member of such a church. Well, I have since learned that God does not call the equipped all the time. Often he equips the called. And that was very much the case with me. And so I'm deeply thankful for that. I just have to alert you to this. If you live anywhere or in Illinois, I just want you to understand the quality of teachers that they're hiring. This is about the Homer Community Consolidated School District 33C. This serves the Homer, Glenn, Illinois, Lockport, Illinois areas. They made a decision to hire a teacher, this by Chaya Rachik. She runs Libs of TikTok and also from a Libs of TikTok post. They hired this man who says they're non-binary, of course, to be a teacher. Now, Chai has updated this, by the way, so we'll just get this out front, that this man's classes have been canceled today, and they had police on hand to meet with him. And that makes sense because some of the things that he posted to his socials, as the kids say, was an upside-down black and white American flag with the phrase, blank the police, and then a picture of him in a t-shirt with a character, that's a goat with horns, and below it it says, Satan respects pronouns. Well, Satan uses them. Satan promotes confusion. Satan respects nothing but himself. But it's this post. And by the way, this man's name is apparently Chris Martin. This post was out there. The school district could have found this because Libs of TikTok found it, or at least it was given to them. He wrote, I have bipolar 1 disorder with mania and psychosis! Exclamation point. This condition has drastically changed my life for better and worse. Because of it, I suffer from irrational thought processes, which make my fears and anxieties triple. Every day is a battle with my mind to survive and be the best me I can be. I have done things in condition of psychosis and mania that have been violent and hurtful. But I'm not my disease. I am me. And I know me, and I love me. And below that post is an upside-down cross, a satanic star, and the number 666, all in red, by the way. This was a person a school district hired. Now, good that that speech was there. What a blessing that Chai Rachik and Libs of TikTok was able to go track that down and to warn, apparently, the district. And by the way, good for the district for canceling the classes. There are so many good, godly teachers who are being thrown out at the same time as we should be throwing out some very, very dangerous, ideologically, spiritually captured teachers. There's other really good teachers. We must never commingle the two. And good for the district. We should congratulate them when they do this. And then we should ask this question. When someone comes in to teach and they inform you, they're a man, obviously a man, and they say, I am not a man, I am a woman. I'm non-binary. Is it reasonable to say, okay, this person is living in a state of psychosis about their very existence, but they're fine in every other way? That's such an easy question to answer. No. If I were to walk in and say, I am 4'2". And I weigh 85 pounds. Be a clear lie, a clear delusion. But the speech was there. So we could find it, we could see it. There is so much secrecy being brought about in society. There are so many efforts to limit what we can see, but also what we can say. The judge in this or this latest indictment of President Trump, or pardon me, the second to latest, this is the federal case, which is, in my judgment, obviously commingled. Obviously, they're working together with the state of Georgia. Obviously, this is about pressing Trump into a defense of himself all around the country. Obviously, this is political. Obviously, this is about rendering him not available on the ballot. Obviously, they don't understand the powder keg that is sitting right there. If they say you don't get this choice, U.S. District Judge Aileen Cannon has canceled an August 25 hearing and ordered a sealed hearing on a request for a protective order under the Classified Information Protection Act. This is Jack Smith's so-called investigation. So we don't get to see what this discussion's about. Well, that's just us. You know who else doesn't get to see it? The Trump attorneys. The judge will decide what the Trump attorneys get to see. And on this, she will take Jack Smith's word? A man who has effectively pledged to rid the country of Donald Trump? So there's secrecy there. There's secrecy here. I told you this week about a bill in California that sought to make kidnapping a child and then turning that child into a sex slave, pardon my language, there was an effort to create new serious felonies for that. That vote failed because the fear was that far too many men and women, because women do this as well. In fact, they often play a crucial role in recruiting kids into being kidnapped or conning them, grooming them, as it were. That too many of them are BIPOCs, people of color. Well, so are many of the victims. Well, so that vote failed, but now it got out because of speech, because of shows like this, because of the coverage of a great investigative journalist and proud to call a friend, a guy named Chris Bray, who really, really brought light to this. So the committee became embarrassed. So they want to bring this back. They want to say we're going to vote on it again, but they're going to do it in a secret committee. And Representative Congressman Kevin Kelly from California is calling this out this time. They intend to go to behind closed doors for the discussion this time so they can say, oh, we really want this to pass. We really do. So we want it to pass so badly. We're going to take it into a secret commission to vote on it. Where does Satan operate? Best? In the dark. When we walk with the light of Christ, we are far less likely to stumble. For God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So if we're walking with him, hand in hand with him, abiding with him, he's a lamp unto our feet. He's also not just the lamp, he is the map itself. Where are we to walk? As the Lord Jesus said, follow me. And I will forget the disciple who said, but Lord, we don't know where you're going, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Follow me, emulate me. Now, we know this because the word has survived, and God's word cannot be done away with. It will not perish. We know that. We can rest secure in that. We can rest secure in that victory. But there's efforts to criminalize it. Scotland has a bill that would classify the Holy Scriptures, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, as hate speech because it doesn't affirm, because it doesn't sponsor same-sex activity. That would be you being charged with hate speech were you to post something from the gospel. So it's not just government that's hiding things. It's not just things they don't want us to see, but there is that as well. The European Union, and this is from a site called ReclaimTheNet.org. By the way, when I give you those sources, I really just want you to know there are information sources available that are not posting and reposting narratives supporting lies. The European Union has been for some time talking about innovations in misinformation. And information and innovations in misinformation that would be algorithmic, top-down, and would actually stop you from posting an item. So you might be ready to post something on social media. That item might be something related to the gospel of Christ. And it can't even go out because the algorithm intervenes to say, no, I'm sorry, you don't get to say that. Who wants to hide? Preemptively hide? What people express? Well, I would argue that it's not God. And I could take this from a very logical perspective, I think. God gave us the gift of speech. To a very large degree, this is what separates us from other animals. There are animals who can communicate, but they can't write books. They don't form paragraphs. They don't have debates. I also think so often about when the Lord Jesus was confronted by people that, I know this I don't want to be sacrilegious at all, just to draw a worldly example into this. He could have just simply turned someone into a salamander and said, wait, you're debating me? Do you know who I am? I got an idea. Why don't I turn you into a tiny striped salamander for a little while and put you in a bowl and carry you around all cute-like and say, hey, remember this guy? Watch, I'm going to turn him back into a human. Well, oh, then it would have been demons, and you're demons, and you have demons. I understand what they would have done. And yet, what did the Lord do? He debated them, and they lost every time. They lost in utterly humiliating ways for them. Often, the Lord taught in very gentle ways. People who were questioning. Thomas, put your finger in my wound. It's me. Watch me eat bread with you. It's me. This is me. This is me, Jesus, risen. And even then, he was speaking. There's a few times in the Bible where the Lord struck people dumb, unable to speak, but he doesn't do this as a defense mechanism. He does it as a teaching opportunity. People who seek to hide the distribution of ideas are people who are convinced of their own goodness. Wasn't it the Lord Jesus who said to a man, why are you calling me good? Only our Father in heaven is good. The people who seek to do this, though, seek to have a new kind of speech. It is a compelled form of speech. If doctors in the state of California, as we talked about, cannot criticize the injections, the mRNA, how long will it be before they have to promote the injections? How long will it have to be before they have to say, we recommend you get your injections? Well, that's happened. Not by statute, not by diktat. It's happened by societal and monetary pressure. There's been so many doctors put on the spot, a camera in their face. Do you recommend these injections? Oh, certainly. We've been compelled, many, not me, not you perhaps, into speaking the wrong pronoun. How long before they attempt to compel us into speaking the wrong faith words? Try to compel us to say Allah Akbar, for instance. Is it that far off? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. And until we speak together again, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you. This is Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.